Jesus. It's great to see all of you this evening. I know the weather is a little bit strange, unusual, slick, frightful, whatever. So I'm glad you're here. And tonight, a couple of days early, but tonight we will celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord. We like to take these festivals and transfer them to the nearest Wednesday. Epiphany is a biggie. 12th day of Christmas, it's where a large portion of the world celebrates Christmas on January 6th. So we pray that God would bless us as we hear His Word and are reminded of how God placed a star to reveal Jesus to the wise men and to us. A couple of words on our worship service for this evening. Our opening hymn, "The Star Proclaims the King is Here," 399. You'll note that the last verse is a Trinitarian verse, little triangle there. So when we get to that fifth verse, we'll stand. Following that opening hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. Divine Service Setting 1. We haven't done that for a while. Page 151 and following. We have a special worship insert, readings on one side, propers on the other. For our hymn of praise, we'll sing the Gloria, as we will throughout the Christmas and Epiphany season. And we'll make sure that we're on the right page at the right time as we move through here. One thing that we want to do before we sing our opening hymn, we have some new communion ware. We have a new chalice. And we have a new flagon. The plating, I think that's the proper term, on our old chalice and flagon was in serious disrepair. We had repaired it several times, and it was to the point of not being able to be repaired anymore. And so we are thankful for the gift of our new communion ware. And we will now dedicate it to God's glory. Beloved in the Lord, in perfect love for us, Jesus Christ our Lord became incarnate, died, and rose for our sake. He bestows the benefits of His redeeming work on us as He places His body and blood into our mouths in the sacrament of the altar. It is therefore fitting and right that the vessels used to convey to us His body and blood should be sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. Psalm 34. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Which shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Let us pray. Most gracious God and Father, whose only begotten Son instituted the blessed sacrament of His body and blood, bless these communion vessels for use at the altar of your church. Grant that all who eat and drink the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ from these vessels may rejoice in the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation given to them in this sacrament. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless these vessels and all who receive the life-giving sacrament. Amen. Amen. We sing our opening hymn, number 399.
Life Service Setting 1, page 150.
From above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth.
Lord God,
God, by the leading of a star, You made known Your only begotten Son to the Gentiles. Lead us, who know You now by faith, to enjoy in heaven the fullness of Your divine presence. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the Epiphany of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. And the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, and the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and they shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the gradual. Those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promised in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. According to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the Gospel of the Lord. We continue with the hymn of the day, page 397. Please be seated.
O Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon, this celebration of the Epiphany of our Lord, comes from the Gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the second chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, dear friends in Christ. In the days of Herod the king, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, strange visitors came to Jerusalem, bringing an even stranger question. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? They come seeking a child, already declared king. He's not the heir to the throne. He is the king. Why? For we saw his star when it rose. The word epiphany is Greek, and it means simply revelation or manifestation. The star epiphanied to these strange visitors, called magi by Matthew, magicians, sorcerers, or as we've kind of sanitized it today, wise men. The star epiphanied to these guys that a special child was born. In fact, so special, so unique, that these magi declare that when they come, they have come to worship him. For this is no ordinary king, but one worthy of worship, one to whom they will bow. The king was epiphanied to them, and they are now compelled to make this journey. They are compelled to worship him, and they have come to Jerusalem to find him. Where else would you go? If these men have any of the wisdom that we humans are so proud of, they would know that the one born king of the Jews must reside where all the other kings of the Jews have lived. Jerusalem, the holy city, the footstool of God, the seat of Israel's kings. If a king worthy of worship has been born to the Jews, he must reside in Jerusalem. He must reside in a magnificent palace. The star epiphanied to them that a child had been born king of the Jews. The star, unfortunately, didn't give them the address. Where else, then, would you go? Where else would you go to find the king of the Jews but Jerusalem? But there is no epiphany in Jerusalem. Only the darkness of unbelief. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod's heart is darkened by jealousy and rage. The child is not in his palace. It's not in the temple. No great birth has been reported to him. And so think about it. The magi know that a child has been born. The star told them that much. But they have no power to find him. Their wisdom has failed them. Indeed, it's a hindrance. They've come to the wrong place. In fact, their wisdom has now just placed the child they have come to worship in peril. For now a jealous Herod knows that there is a threat to his rule. The magi, their failures. Their wisdom, a sham. Their journey, a fiasco. all their powers of reason and understanding are completely and utterly worthless. The wisdom of this world, the wisdom peddled by these magicians and sorcerers, these so-called wise men, cannot apprehend the child-born King of the Jews. Such wisdom only hides him. This world is not going to find the child-born King of the Jews by observing nature or using the powers of human reason. People are not going to become Christians by watching a beautiful sunset or climbing a mountain. You won't find Christ, the Christ child, in a fishing boat or in a casino. People won't even be converted simply by watching Christians live upright lives among them. At best, they will come with the Magi to Jerusalem, to the seat of power and glory, looking for a God who's big, who's powerful, a generic God who likes me because I'm so likable and wants to give me all that I ask for, or else a God who hates me because I'm so hateable and wants to crush me. The best that human reason can do, the absolute best, thinking as deeply as it can, examining creation as closely as it can, is that there is a God. And this God has two characteristics. He's big and he's mad. And that's the best that human reason can do. The absolute best. The worst is complete and total unbelief, exemplified by the hatred of the Christ child we find in Herod. You see, there is no epiphany to human reason. Nothing is epiphanied by our own wisdom and understanding that gives us any hope. Certainly not the one born King of the Jews. You see, epiphany only comes through the means that God has appointed. The Magi, they're in the wrong city. They have no idea where the child is. Their human wisdom and learning, as impressive as it is not worth one pinch of owl dung. But Herod, sinful, jealous, unbelieving Herod, he actually knows where to go. He goes to the church. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he, Herod, inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. God's Old Testament church, now corrupted and led by status-seeking men, only concerned with the outward show of the law, still serves the very purpose it has had since the very beginning. From the very first message of the gospel given to the very first preacher, Adam, through many centuries and countless prophets and priests, the church has been given the solemn responsibility to point people to the one born King of the Jews. The seed of a woman who will crush the serpent's head, the star coming out of Jacob, the righteous branch, God's servant Emmanuel. There is epiphany within the church. An epiphany that human reason cannot attain. An epiphany that the church has a command from God Himself to show to the world. A command, by the way, that still stands, that Jesus Himself emphasized. And so those chief priests and scribes despite themselves, fulfill their God-given task. They point the Magi to the child-born King of the Jews. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" The church points the Magi to Bethlehem, to the child born King of the Jews, by preaching the word. You see, the church doesn't start a soup kitchen to direct the Magi to Bethlehem. It doesn't send out people to dig a well or clean up a park to get them to the King of the Jews. As God-pleasing and wonderful as such things are, they won't help the Magi one bit. The church must preach the word. The church must speak. Christians must speak. You cannot expect your neighbor to believe in Jesus simply by watching you drive to church every Sunday. You cannot pretend that you are spreading the gospel by doubling your waitress's tip. It is the word alone that epiphanies the Christ child. The Christian must finally speak. We cannot expect the world to believe by osmosis, as if a church sitting in a neighborhood can automatically make Christians of those among them, around them, as if a Bible sitting on our shelf, never read, never opened, can somehow make our children Christian. Jesus does not want to be known in any other way than through His Word. He cannot be apprehended in any other way. The church, Christians, must speak. Even Herod pointed the Magi to Bethlehem. The church, on the other hand, speaks not out of jealousy and anger, murderous schemes, but out of love. Love for Christ, who has called on the church to speak, and love for the neighbor, lost in the darkness of sin, death, and hell, who desperately needs the church, Christians, to speak. You see, human wisdom is going to fail every time. Simply enjoying the wonders of nature will never bring you the Christ child. Good works by themselves never converted anyone. The Word epiphanies Jesus. And His Word, we have the promise, never returns void. The Magi heard this word, spoken by the church and through the work of the Holy Spirit. A miracle indeed! They believed. After listening to the King, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. Pay attention to this detail, dear friends. The star guides them to the house only after they have heard the word and believed. It is the word that points them to Jesus. And then the star gives them the address. Only in the word is Jesus epiphanied. Against all appearances, as the ruler of the nations, the Lord of creation, the shepherd of His people Israel. Apart from the Word, God is an angry judge. He's big and He's mad. But the Word epiphanies God as a God of love, A God who would send His Son to save not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles, beginning with the Magi and then all the way to you and to me. The Word epiphanies Jesus. That's the Good Shepherd. The Shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. The Shepherd who lays down His life for you and for me. The Word epiphanies Jesus as the King of the Jews. The title that will be placed above His head as He sheds His blood for the sin of the world. For your sin, for mine, the Magi's sin, for the entire world. The Word epiphanies Jesus. The baby lying in the manger. The child dwelling in Bethlehem. The man presented to the angry crowds by Pilate. The man hanging on the cross. The Word epiphanies Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, your King. He is epiphanied in the Word. He is epiphanied by the Church. He is epiphanied to you and for you. In His name, Amen. Having heard the Word, we stand, we confess, we speak back to God our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made.
Pray for Good Shepherd member Joyce Thompson, who is hospitalized. We pray for the father of Brent Stelick, Leonard, who is back in the hospital. And we also rejoice with Dee Inger, who has returned home from the hospital. Almighty God, enthroned forever, You love righteousness and hate wickedness, yet for our sake, You sent Your only begotten Son to suffer the wages of our sin, that we might be holy in Your sight, as You have poured out upon us grace and salvation. So continue to anoint us with the oil of gladness and the hope of everlasting life. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of glory, You sent Your Son so that Your glory might be made known to the peoples who live in darkness. As You have called, gathered, and enlightened us by the work of Your Holy Spirit, grant that we might exult to proclaim Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to all who will hear. Send forth Your holy gospel throughout the world, that they might speak Your word, and many more might hear and believe. Remember all those who serve as missionaries in foreign lands and provide for all their needs, including Dr. Allman in Germany and Pastor Preuss in the Dominican Republic. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Giver of all wisdom, You guided the wise men from the East to be Your Holy Son, that they might believe and worship their King. Preserve us in the faith, so that we are not led astray by cultural trends or man-made philosophies. By Your holy Word, strengthen us always to believe that Jesus is the Christ, Your Son, our Savior. And believing, grant that we might thankfully make use of Your gifts in accordance with Your will. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, our Almighty King, You preserved the lives of Jesus and His parents when Herod schemed to destroy Him. Protect Your church from trouble and persecution, and where it is given to Your people to suffer, preserve them by Your grace and word, that they might trust fully in Christ, who has died and risen to shepherd them. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, You have made us fellow heirs of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Remember all who are afflicted and in need of deliverance this day, especially Leonard and Joyce, and all those that we remember in our hearts. Hear their prayers. Provide help and deliverance according to Your word, and preserve them in the faith until that day when their eternal healing is fully revealed. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, thanks be to You that You have revealed Jesus to be the Savior of both Jews and Gentiles. Bless those whom You have made to be ministers of Your word, and grant that all of Your people might rejoice to believe in the unsearchable riches of Christ. Bless all those who gather at Your supper this evening, that they might receive Your Son's body and blood for forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into Your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in Your mercy through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the light of the world, epiphanied to us through His Word. This time, we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this night. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or the internet. We pray that the good news of Jesus Christ for you would bring you forgiveness, life, and salvation. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Mm-hmm.
We continue now with the offertory, page 159. Please stand. Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In Him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and in the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We continue now with the post-communion canticle, the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Please stand. God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for His sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. Technically, there's about two more days in our celebration of Christmas. Here at Good Shepherd, this will be our last Christmas carol for a while. Hymn 370.
Thank you.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of the Word made flesh, epiphanied to us through the very Word of God. There's another mystery to unfold right there. Please check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes if you haven't done so already. And we got a lot of activities and things that are going on. School is now back in session. Most everybody made it back to midweek, so we're very happy for that. And most everybody turned in a confirmation essay, too. Thanks be to God. Yeah, the miraculous night there. Couple of sign-up tables. A week from Sunday, we have the big soup cook-off. Need some helpers there. On Thursday, the 2nd of February, we have our Pancake Feed fundraiser for Pediatric Cancer Action Network, and we need lots of help for that, so check those things out there as well. It's always pretty easy to remember people's needs when we're in the holiday spirit and leading up to Christmas, but many of us forget that once the tree is put away and the holiday spirit seems to be gone. The food barrels are still out there. Lots and lots of need still exists in and around Good Shepherd and Lincoln. So if you can, help us out, and we'll fill them up again. And that would be a great thing. Lori, I looked at Pastor Murundi, and I just said, wow. Thank you. Thank you. Bible study now in the fellowship hall. Continuing to look at the work of the Holy Spirit as revealed to us in Luke 1 and 2. Lifelight tomorrow at 1. And I don't know what the choir's doing. What are you meeting in 108? Is that where you're meeting? Okay. Yeah, they're having an epiphany party tonight. So, should have joined the choir. You can join the choir tonight if you want to. Yeah, you can join the choir tonight, but you got to come back and sing. Don't just eat and run. Pastor... We're going to talk about Mormonism. We're not going to convert anybody to Mormonism, right? Okay. Just wanted to make that clear. All right. Vicar? Anything? Have a great day and week and Epiphany season in the Lord Jesus Christ.